Should we take it in more there? Remember, we like took a lot out of there last year.
Yeah, I think all right. Still probably we need
yeah,
more.
Yeah, we can do it.
We'll do it later. Okay.
All right. So
I'm Floyd Hall, and in this artist feature, I chat with Tamara Kobus, Atlanta Ballet's costume director, about the role she serves at the dance company, her start in fashion design and costuming, and the stages of preparing for a performance.
All right, so this will come out of both sides, Nadia.
Okay.
I'm just going to pin on one.
Okay.
I'm so interested in what you do because the costume aspect of dance, of ballet, provides so much to the storylines, to the way in which we embrace and receive the artistry. So talk about your role here at Atlanta Ballet.
All right. Well, as director of costumes, I'm in charge of all things costume. So making, fitting, preserving. I also lead a team that helps me with all of this work. And we just make sure the costumes fit well, they look beautiful on stage, and the dancer feels comfortable in their costume. Ultimately, that's the goal.
So in making sure that the dancers feel comfortable, take me through that process of fitting the costumes to those performers.
Well, if you're fitting a costume that already exists, like our Nutcracker, we pull those costumes from the racks. They've been cleaned and stored. And we have a fitting. The dancer comes in. We pin it. We have them do movement in it and make sure that they can do the choreography without being restricted inside of their costume. The Nutcracker costumes are quite old, so we also look for things like seams coming apart or rusty hooks and bars, and we just make sure it's a safe and lovely garment for them to wear.
So for something like the Nutcracker, what type of preservation process do you all do, or I guess maintenance, you know, just how do you care for those costumes? Because they are, as you mentioned, some of them are pretty old.
Yeah, this production was designed in 1995, so it's been on the stage year after year. We just make sure that everything's clean and pressed when we put it away. We make sure things are neatly labeled and the garments are together in their sections. We take extensive notes if things need to be repaired. If we ever have downtime in the shop, we always go back and revisit Nutcracker and put more hooks and bars and fix a sleeve, or, you know, sometimes sleeves have to come off, we replace them. I just go over all of this with a fine-tooth comb, and the process is a long time. We spend about 3 or 4 months at the beginning of the season getting ready for Nutcracker, and then it takes about another maybe 4 or 5 weeks just to put it away after we've performed, after everything's been cleaned and boxed up. So it's a great deal of time on this one production.
Let's talk about timelines, because you talked about Nutcracker, but for even other works, talk about the timeline of your involvement from conceptual sketches to colors to how you all are integrated into the production process, because I thought that was very interesting when I learned more about that.
Right. Well, we're doing a new work, Camino Real, and these costumes were designed maybe several months ago. There were a lot of meetings between the designer and Sandra Woodall and Helen Pickett, the choreographer. And I had a meeting with her this summer in July regarding the renderings and specifically the look and the feel and the textures and what is really going to, what she envisioned seeing on the stage. So we got to work as soon as we all came on contract. We got to work on this in August and built muslin and patterns for all of the characters. And then Sandra came in to do these fittings. But we don't perform until March. So it's quite a great span of time. But this is a full-length ballet, so, and there's a lot of characters, so it's a big evening of dance. it takes more time than, say, a rep piece that has maybe 5 to 10 dancers, and maybe they're all in the same costume or variation on a theme. These are individual characters, and it works more like this in particular, like a play. So every costume is very different from the other. The characters are very separate, so we need a lot of time and a lot of manpower to make this happen.
And so for all of those characters, you all have all of the performers come in and you fit them and you go through tailoring, and
absolutely,
they have to go through motions and just to make sure that it can actually work for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, I'm very curious about maybe the stressful parts of what you do. And I imagine that night of a performance, to me, that would be stressful because something may break or a hook may come undone. So walk me through, for you, what the night of a performance is like.
Well, I love opening night. I absolutely do. We've already had rehearsals in costume and tech. So they've already been working in their costume quite a bit. And I like to get costumes in the studio way before we even go to the theater so that I know that that works. So I feel very comfortable about it. I've been doing this for a long time, so I sort of know how to alleviate those problems. But I love opening night. I've hardly ever been stressed out on opening
okay.
night. But tech week, yeah, it's a little stressful, especially with a brand new build. You just don't know. Once they're full into the choreography, there are things that can happen and go wrong. But usually we try to address that before a paid audience comes and sees it. So I can usually relax on opening night. It's my reward.
Okay. Well, what is your biggest challenge when you are going through the process, whether it's the early meetings in production or the fittings or going through tech? For you, what is your normal biggest challenge for any production?
Well, for any production, we have a deadline that's finite. We can't push that to next Thursday. So we always meet our deadlines every time. So, and oftentimes there's just not enough time. So it's working late, it's working on the weekends, our days off, just to get that production, in on time. So I think time is the biggest factor. We just have to work really fast, and I have to be able to judge, is my team large enough to get this work done? So I'm constantly reevaluating the workload and how quickly are we building it. So that's really it. I love everything. I do get stressed out, but I have a lot of things to do and a lot of things on my mind because I also think of the season as a whole. So I can compartmentalize each piece, but also I have to look at the bigger picture because we have Camino Real build, we have Classical Symphony build, and I'm constantly building for Nutcracker. So I just have to look at the whole thing as a whole. So it's a lot to think about. So this is a very large tutu that we just keep trying to make smaller for tiny Nadia. Just takes a little trial and error here to get it right. All right. Thank you. I think we should put this tutu on another basque, so you don't have all of this fabric right
okay.
here.
Okay. Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, I feel like there's a little fabric there.
It's so much fabric.
Yeah.
At least, but you don't get partnered in this, right?
Yeah, I don't get partnered in this.
That's a good thing. All right.
There we go.
Yeah, because we can get rid of a bunch of that.
Ugh.
If I still have time at the end of all this crazy, I will remake this, but I don't.
Okay.
I don't know if there's time this season.
Okay.
We've just had some other issues.
That'll work. Much better. It was just all this fabric here. When I bend over, it would be like...
I know. And we want it to look slender, too. There's just so much happening right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go.
You mentioned that you've been doing this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that a lot of professionals in the costuming and also fashion world would love to have your job. Talk about how you got here and maybe some of the steps that you took until you realized that this was an opportunity that you would love to continue to take advantage of.
Right. I sewed as a young girl. At 11, I took over my mother's sewing machine and made my own things and started to get used to that sewing machine. When I went to University of Utah, I got a job at the costume shop there for Utah Ballet and Performing Dance Company. So they had their own little shop there that they made costumes for performances. That was the best job I had. It was so great. So it was work study, it was 20 hours a week, and I fell in love with that place. I had plans of being an architect, but really, I felt the most joy when I was making dance costumes. Eventually, I opened up my own business. I sold ready-to-wear clothes. I did fashion shows. It wasn't necessarily dance clothes. I did fashion. I did fashion shows and all sorts of things. So I had that business, and it was really successful. I did theater, performance art, some Olympic stuff, just a well-rounded sort of business where I did a lot of things. I got a phone call from Richmond Ballet, and they asked me if I would consider coming to work for them as costume director for their ballet. And I flew out and decided that I could go back to my roots, back to ballet. And I did that. I was with them for 8 years. And then after I retired from there, John McFall kept calling me up. So the thing is about... ballet costumes. I'm really rooted in it. I understand the patterning, the flow of fabrics, the textures that will work, you know, how things will move on stage, the colors, how the colors affect the lights and or how the lights affect the costumes. I have a deep understanding of this, and it's just sort of rooted in what I have been thinking about all my life. So, it is a job that lots of people want and not everyone can have. I'm just very lucky to love what I do and be good at that work.
For the listeners who are into fashion, could you talk about the difference in what you do with your costume work versus your design work for ready-to-wear items when you look back? Like, what's the difference between making and designing clothes for those two different types of functions?
Sure, it's actually completely different. So with dance, I build costumes that I hope will last 35 years. So when you build a garment for dance, you want it to hang in the rep and hope that it revisits the stage over time. So when you're designing for a choreographer, you have to keep that in mind. If you use too many influence of current fashion, in 10 years it will become dated. So you have to keep that in mind when you're designing for ballet or contemporary dance, that you want that garment to hold up, you want to build it to last, and the design also has to last over time, or it becomes dated in 10 years. And you also have to build this so that they can move and not tear out their costumes. Fashion, what's great about fashion is it can be also made up, but current, but it doesn't stick around for too long. But people, when they wear fashion, they want what's great that season and maybe a few staple pieces in their wardrobe that they can add to. But as far as trends in fashion, you don't have to build it to last. You don't build fashion clothing that's necessarily going to last for 35 years. And the patterning is completely different. You don't have to be able to do the splits and all this crazy dancing in clothes that you wear, like ready to wear.
So in wanting to build items that will last for 30 plus years, are your choices more about construction or about fabric choices?
It's both.
Okay.
But construction is the most important part. So if you think about a premiere that's going to happen this season, and then you think about it living still on the stage in 20 years from now, people are getting bigger, dancers change shapes, lots of different people will wear that costume. So you need to make it so that it's easily alterable, so it can change its shape and size without damaging fabric. And so you just build it in a way that it can be changed over time. The hem can be let down and brought back up. And fabric choices, I always go to natural fibers because I love silk and wool, and it looks the best on stage. And so, but silk has a shelf life. It doesn't last forever. So after 35 years, it will just fall apart.
Well, with all that you've been able to do and all that you do here for Atlanta Ballet, you couldn't do it without a great team.
Right.
So talk about how you work with your team, or how you select your team, or how that process works when you have something as big as Nutcracker or something smaller.
Right. When I got to Atlanta Ballet, I started the interview and taking applications to find my team. And it's not an easy thing to do because work in the ballet is very hard. It's very demanding. You have to be quick and know your machines and know your stitches and just know how to build with lycra and silk and wool. And so it takes a really well-rounded person to be able to do this work, and not everyone can do it. It's just not everyone's up to that job. But I started to find my group of people that work for me, and they've been with me this entire time. So my little core group of people who work with me have stayed, and they're awesome. And we continue to bring in new talent that can come in and fit in our shop. We have to have a sense of humor because things get really creepy. You know, the deadlines are insane. And so if we can maintain a little family unit with a sense of humor, that really helps.
Lastly, talk about Atlanta Ballet. And you've been here for a while, but talk about the ballet as it relates to our city, as it relates to what it provides culturally for Metro Atlanta and even beyond. I would love to get your thoughts on the work that you all do here.
Okay. Yeah, Atlanta Ballet is a wonderful company. I fell in love with the dancers first when I came to interview here. They're so approachable, such beautiful athletes, and just really wonderful people. John McFall has a great vision for the company in general to sort of shake things up a little bit, providing more maybe contemporary works rather than so much of the classical ballets. We do still do some of that, but I think it in a way makes it more accessible to the general public. Not everyone just likes to go see Sleeping Beauty or this sort of thing. Maybe they want something a little edgier. I think it makes it more approachable. And I just think it's a wonderful team here. And the rep performances and Nutcracker and, you know, this year we have Romeo and Juliet, it just doesn't disappoint. So I hope that people just come and see it and see what we've been hard at work to provide for the community, because it's a lot of hard work for all of us, production team, dancers, administrative, and we're proud of the work that we do, so we just want to share it with everyone.
Well, one more question for you. When was the last time that you made items just for yourself?
Oh, that's funny. Maybe 20, 30 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. When I started doing this for a living, for a profession, my things got put on the back burner. It doesn't mean I don't have fabrics at home and ideas that I want to do for myself, but yeah, I focus my world on my work, and, you know, my clothes are second.
Well, you'll get back to that at some point, right?
Absolutely. I have some really good ideas for things for myself, but...
Not now.
Not now.
Okay. Tamara Kovas, costume director for Atlanta Ballet, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I enjoyed myself. I think we can just do a plain basque under there. So you'll just have a basque.
Yeah.
And then this.
That would feel better. I feel like there's so much fabric. Like when I when I have to twist like even more to make it move. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
Instead of just like moving.
Right.
And he goes with me. He's like, ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an effort. Cause
yeah,
dealing,
it is. It is.
You're dealing with all of this bulk.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do that and have you come back. If we go that far, maybe we just make another. I don't know. I'll take a look
at it.
It's
like super low, right? It should be more here, right?
Well, where's your hip bone?
Here.
Yeah. So it is low.
It's low.
But this was...
It's lower than the sugar plum, this one.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But see, this one, this other one...
Yeah.
Was even... This one is even...
It's even, longer than...
Longer.
Okay.
So, remember, we stitched it to here last year to bring it up a little.
Right.
But yeah, it is low.
It's lower.
And it's huge.
It's huge. It changes the center a lot for the turns.
Right?
Yeah.
Because like,
usually it's right here. So when I turn, like, it's different. Now it's lower and it takes more effort.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange. But.
All right.
All right.
We'll do what we can, okay?
Of course.
We'll have
Thank
you come
you.
Back in.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nadia.
No problem.